Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Adore Me by Ashley Zakchevsky, narrated by Stephen Bourne and Avery Reed. Chapter 1. Damon. Thick black smoke and flames reached the sky, the compound crumbling to ash before my eyes as the fire truck screeches to a halt. Everything but the thumping of my heart goes silent. Even if we put it out, the destruction is inescapable, with the fire spreading across the entire complex. Individuals are standing off to the side by a couple of ambulances, coughing uncontrollably with soot smeared on their faces. The chief instructs us to prepare the hose as a screaming child comes from behind me. When I twist around, a little girl of about 7 is scrambling out of the building, black streaks down her face. My heart plummets as I scurry over to her, plucking her up, struggling to get away from the tumbling debris. "Are you okay?" I ask, examining her body for any signs of cuts or burns.
"My mom, she's still inside," she sobs. "Please, help her."
"What apartment?" She stares at me.
"I don't know."
"First floor?" I ask, requiring at least that, and she nods. "I'm gonna find her." Before wasting any more precious time, I pass her off to the paramedics and dash inside to find the young girl's mother. Upon entry, there are 2 floors. The top one is missing pieces of the roof already, but I don't let that deter me in my search. This is my job, and no one is dying today. The crashing of debris is deafening, making my ears ring, and my throat is on fire from the dense smoke taking over the corridor. This building might come down at any point and trap us both inside.
"Your daughter is safe," I yell. "If you can hear me, make a noise."
It's hard to hear over all the clamoring from the fire, but my eyes shut, battling to take notice of anything that can point me to recovering the girl's mother. Nothing. Proceeding to scan through apartments, I tremble. This structure is massive. She could be anywhere, and I'm running out of time. I need something, anything to help me locate her, or neither of us will be walking out of here alive today. The once sturdy frame, damaged by embers, is deteriorating before me, allowing mere minutes to locate her before it will all come plunging down. Sometimes, in situations like this, my life flashes before my eyes, as cliché as that sounds. Every life is worth saving, and I can't leave someone behind, even if it means my death. My body swiftly moves through 2 more residences damaged by excessive smoke soot, seeking to expose the woman, but no luck. She isn't responding to me, and that isn't a good sign. Is she unconscious?
Ping on something, anything.
The attempt to drown everything out around me to concentrate fails until I pick up a clang coming from the next apartment. Finally. My biceps flex as I force the debris off her and take her in. Under the soot and wide eyes, she has a delicate bone structure that would be beautiful under other circumstances. Green eyes peer up at me, frenzied. It's Tessa. She suffers no obvious injuries. The smoke is closing in on us with no clear path to get out now. What the hell are we going to do? I'm not letting that little girl grow up without a mother. We are getting out of here. I search around the apartment for anything that she can manipulate to protect her nose and mouth. Use this. I jab a ragged towel from the floor into her hands. She presses it against her nostrils, gasping for clean air, her eyes searching mine for instructions. I'm gonna get you out of here, I say, scooping her into my arms. Ash coats her face.
My...
Your daughter's outside, safe. Come on. Debris is falling all around us, and for a minute I don't expect us to make it out, until we reach the foyer and the paramedics charge us. Not even 30 seconds later, the structure where we were just at comes crumbling down. Any more hesitation from either of us, and we wouldn't have made it out alive. The little girl is whimpering, standing next to my brother Liam. Today, she almost lost her mother. That's something that will remain with her, as it does for many people, even those beyond her years. Once the paramedics have Tessa, I saunter over to her daughter to reassure her everything is going to be okay. I crouch down in front of her, bringing myself to her level. My name's Damon. What's yours?
Emily.
She sniffles. Your mom's gonna be okay, Emily. I couldn't have saved her without your help, so thank you. Her arms wrap around me and my heart breaks. She reminds me of the one thing I may never have but have always wanted. Children. Let's go see your mom. I accompany her over to the ambulance where the EMT is examining Tessa. Thankfully, she has no cuts from the debris falling on top of her, but she will have some bruising. The worst thing is all the smoke she inhaled. That's the most dangerous thing about fires. It can decrease lung function, and a lot of people suffocate due to the lack of clean air. When I shift around to head back to the truck and help the guys with the hose, Tessa clutches my arm.
What's your name?
She says, her voice scratchy. Damon, I reply, holding out my hand, gazing into the green eyes before me. She must not remember me. Maybe that's a good thing after our incident. She works at the local grocery store by my house, and a couple times I tried to work up the courage to ask her out, but I talked myself out of it.
I'm Tessa. Thank you for saving me and my daughter.
Her hand reaches out to shake mine. A smile takes over, and I reply, It's my pleasure, ma'am. Glad to see you're going to be okay. That little girl needs you. We exchange a smile as I walk away, heading back to the truck to receive an ass-chewing from my brother. You should have waited, damn it. What the hell were you thinking? You could have died just like Dad. Liam yells. His face is crimson, and I know what he's thinking. Don't be a hero. But I can't help who I am. Yes, there were consequences to think about, but the good exceeded the bad. The chance of us not making it out of a building is high, but we can't let that stop us from attempting to save people. I had it, I reply, clutching the hose and ripping the fire a new one. As it sprays over the structure still tumbling down, my mind drifts to Tessa. My brothers didn't know about my crush on her. There must be a reason fate brought us together today, right? Perspiration drips off my forehead as I twist the hose off, and the boys assist me in placing it back on the truck. The fire is out, but the destruction is still happening, with debris continuing to fall. The crowd has become bigger around the destruction, with people stopping their cars and taking in the scene. Let's head back to the station, Liam calls out, hopping into the driver's seat. Winter is the worst season for fires in Grapevine because of all the objects left plugged in, like heaters or even burning candles. Sometimes it's defective wiring, but there is always an investigation. Luckily, we haven't hit winter yet, and the leaves are still crunching beneath my feet as I stride to the truck, savoring the breeze for longer. September in Texas isn't too bad with the temperature being in the 60s. We get a couple of months in between scorching hot and the chill of the 40s. Every once in a while we will have some snow, but not very often. After leaving the complex, my mind always assesses if there's something I could have done differently, either better or quicker. My brothers sometimes tell me I'm too critical of myself, but every second counts.
If we were a couple minutes later, Tessa could have died and left behind her daughter. I tremble thinking about it. After removing our gear off the truck, I head inside to the break room, and my mind travels back to an idea I've been throwing around. We sit down at the table, and I chug a bottle of water to help relieve the burning sensation in my throat. So, I'm thinking about purchasing some property.
For what? Like another house? Liam asks.
Not for me, but every week people suffer misfortune, leaving the scenes of fires with only the clothes on their backs, and most of the time they end up in shelters. What if we could help them instead? My arms cross and I lean back in my chair.
I'm listening. You know I'm down to help.
We aren't wealthy by any means, but purchasing some property and offering it up to the community sounds like something Mom and Dad would do. I respond. My father left instructions for his life insurance to be split into three accounts for me and my brothers. One thing my father always said was, being a firefighter is amazing, but you should still go to college. So the contingency on the account was we would gain access after obtaining at least an associate's degree and reach 21 years old. When my mother passed, her life insurance was also placed in these accounts with instructions to use toward retiring early so we can enjoy our lives. That's what Liam and I have been putting our money toward instead of spending it on useless stuff like our younger brother Aiden.
You think we can find something that isn't too high?
I can chip in $100,000. The rest I have enough funds to build interest. If we can get Aiden to agree to pitch in, that's plenty. I can't imagine we couldn't find a property for $300,000 in Grapevine. This is something we can operate as a family, to facilitate aid in our neighborhood after witnessing the tragedy strike family after family. I draft up a text to Aiden and edit it twice. He has issues with money, so I'm not sure if he will be able to go in with us. Me. Got time to meet up tonight at Dixie's and have a beer? Liam challenges me to a game of poker to waste away the last hour of our shift, and I'm not one to back down. He always acts like he's so good at it, but he needs to learn to not show his cards. I laugh every time.
So, did you see who that girl was you saved?
He asks. Of course I know who she is, but how does he?
Yeah, Tessa. Why, what about her?
I almost asked her out earlier this year, but decided not to. I am not competing with my brother over a girl. It's those eyes, I bet. Got me, too. I try hard not to show him any kind of resistance because he likes competition, and Tessa doesn't need us fighting over her, treating her like a piece of meat. Liam isn't the womanizer like Aiden, but he cares too much about looks. Honestly, for me, of course I want them to be attractive, but it's more about who they are and what they bring to the table. In 20 to 30 years, we will both be older, and it's more important that I have someone to talk to and share things with in my life than basing my decision off their looks. So instead of hearing more from Liam, I try to change the topic. Hey, you know there's that set of duplexes over off DuPont. Been up for sign sale for months now.
If Aiden wants in, we can go see it. Mark can find us a good deal.
I lay down my cards and smile.
How do you do that every time?
He yells, rising from the table, almost knocking it over. Keep your cards hidden and I won't beat you. My phone vibrates against the wood table. Aiden, meet you there at 5. Things between Aiden and me haven't been great in recent years. It started when our mother passed. With Aiden being the youngest, he was used to receiving special treatment, but Liam and I didn't hold back.
He needs someone to make him realize when he's messing up, just as Dad would do if he were still alive. After our shift ends, we head to the bar and chat about the various properties we've seen for sale around the neighborhood. Mark is the agent that helped us find our homes, so he'll be the one we enlist to help us find the perfect property. You think Aiden will go for it? He might not have enough cash left. When he turned 21 and got access to the account, he dropped his money on luxurious items like an enormous home and an upscale Audi instead of saving or investing it. Liam and I are wiser about our wealth. We each acquired a fixer-upper house and set the rest back in an interest account for retirement. When it comes time, we both wish to live comfortably. Aiden didn't really have a plan. When we asked about how he's saving for retirement, he laughed at us.
I'm too young to think about retirement. I haven't even lived yet.
His materialistic aspects of living will be his downfall. Those elements don't mean crap when you're 65 and need to pay for your medication. Until then, all we can do as his brothers is wish for the best. I pull my red Honda Civic up to the bar and unbuckle my seatbelt and turn the car off. Let me talk with Aiden. You know how he can be sometimes. Liam nods, agreeing to let me take the lead as we head inside. When the doors open, I regret my decision to meet here, forgetting it's open mic night. I can hardly hear Liam when he tries to talk to me. Over there! He points where Aiden is thrashing his hands around, trying to get our attention.
What's the big occasion? We haven't done this since, what, my 21st birthday?
He bangs his beer down. Fuck, already? His eyes are glazed over and he is already slightly slurring his words. It's only 5 on a weekday. How can he already be this drunk?
Now hear us out. We want to buy some property and use it for those who don't have anywhere to go. Just another way to support our community, I explain. Even though my brother enjoys having money to fall back on, he has a heart. Just like Liam and me, there's a reason he followed in the family's footsteps. Helping people runs in our blood.
Aiden's eyebrows rise.
Well, what do you need from me?
If you want to go in with us, we can split the cost 3 ways. How much do you have left in your account? Normally, I wouldn't ask such a personal question, but he might not even have enough to help.
Around $200,000, I think.
He responds, taking another sip of his beer.
That's it?
When he turned 21, there was over $1 million in that account. Has he really been that foolish to spend so recklessly? I resist the urge to yell at him. It isn't my place. We would split the cost, but until we decide on which property, there's no telling how much it will be. Aiden's age encourages him to make crazy impulse decisions and not consider the repercussions.
Screw it, I'm in.
The three of us clink our beers together. Our family has been around a misfortune enough.
What about that estate over on DuPont? Aiden chimes in.
I'll call tomorrow and see if we can look at it. We should see several properties before we make a decision, I reply, snatching my keys. I'm heading home. We'll talk more once I've spoken to Mark. It's been an exhausting day, but it's only a little after 6, which means it's time to head home and find something to eat. The quiet gets to me, and for the last 2 years, my solitude is going to work to break up the depression and silence. I try not to let it get to me anymore, but sometimes it sneaks up without me knowing it. As I pull into my driveway, Tessa creeps up in my mind, reminding me of our last interaction. I'd been trying to rustle up the courage to ask her out, but always fell short. It was a Thursday, my day off, and I decided I was finally going to do it.
When I walked into the grocery store, there she was, checking someone out, and so I acted like I was shopping until she was free, only instead of paying attention to where I was going, my ass knocked over a display of Cheez-Its. They all went tumbling to the ground, and everyone in the store came to stare.
"Are you okay, sir?"
Tessa asked, laughing.
"I keep telling my boss we should move the display to one side, but no one listens to me."
She began to pick up boxes, and I helped her. "I'm so sorry about this. I really need to watch where I'm going." It took about 20 minutes to get all the boxes picked up and put back together on the display. I don't really say much, still embarrassed, but I wasn't going to run out of here like a little girl. However, my nerve to ask her out was completely lost. Maybe today is a sign that I should buckle down and just ask her. Maybe it's a way of fate telling me to stop being a pussy and go for it.
Chapter 2. Tessa. How are we going to recover from this? We can't afford to stay in a motel with only $100 left in my pocket until next week. Working part-time while Emily's in school doesn't bring in a lot of money. But as a single mother, I do what I have to.
"Mama, I don't want to go." She coughs into the crease of her elbow.
"I know, baby, but we should, just to be safe," I say, holding out my hand. The ambulance takes us to the emergency room, and we go directly to a patient room that's bleak and sterile, where we remain, hands interlaced, waiting to see a doctor. I'm not leaving her side even for a second, not after coming so close to losing her. The fear of being on that floor, fire all around us, and nothing I can do to save her is something I never want to experience again. Attempting to wipe the tears from her eyes, the soot on her face smears, leaving more black streaks across her face. The door opens, and a nurse comes inside.
"I'm Angela. Dr. Ward would like us to run some tests. If you would follow me?"
Emily grabs my hand, and we walk together into an all-white room with machines. She clutches my hand.
"Just do what the nurse asks, and we'll be out of here in no time. And then we'll go get ice cream, okay?"
She nods and takes the nurse's hand as they run the test on her, and then we switch. After Angela takes us back to the patient room, we wait for the results.
"Here, let's get you cleaned up," I say, grabbing a couple of paper towels and running them underwater for a minute before wiping away all the black.
"Much better." I wrap up next to Emily on the hospital bed, pondering where we will go from here. My way of life since having her has been tough, but I constantly push through and make certain we have food to eat and a place to lay our heads. Now, with the apartment out of commission, that isn't the case, and I'm feeling as if I let my daughter down. There was no one for me to lean on in my time of crisis. My mother lives thousands of miles away, so our only other option is to stay at a family shelter. If we owned the house, then insurance would kick in and help us, but we only rent. I doubt our cheap landlord is going to shell out anything to house the families from the fire. A knock sounds on the door, and the doctor comes in.
"It looks like you girls should be fine besides some coughing spells, which are an effect of the irritation from the smoke. Tests show no prolonged damage to the lungs, which is splendid news.
Are we free to go? We need to get our things in order so we have somewhere to sleep tonight."
"Of course. Here are your discharge papers. Follow up with your family doctor next week. If the coughing persists after a week, come back and get checked out."
As we wander out of the hospital, Emily tugs on my hand.
"Mama, when can we go home? I don't think it has settled in that we didn't have a home to go to."
My head sinks, and I try to keep from crying because I don't know where we will go. I must keep it together in front of Emily. She's only 6 years old, far too young to have to fret about something like this. Let's run some errands before we get ice cream, baby. First stop is to Goodwill to get some clothes that don't reek of smoke. Luckily, there is a 20% off sale on blue tags, and I ransacked the place, hoping to find some good deals. The $100 I have must be spent wisely, especially not knowing how long we will be without a place. Most racks have little to no sale items left, but I find some things for both of us. As I make my way to the front, I see an old suitcase and look to see how much it is. $8. My logic is we'll need something to lug around our items in, so I pick it up and add it to the clothes on the counter and pay.
Can I have this, Mommy?
She holds up a doll, missing some of its hair. I almost say no, but she will need something to play with, and my heart gives in. Of course, baby. Put it up here. As we exit the store, holding our only possessions inside a suitcase, things become clear on how the rest of this year is going to go. It's ice cream time. Emily grabs my hand as we stride to the next block over. The little diner is just what you would predict. Booths attached to window panes, giving a pleasant view of the town hall across the street. Old Coca-Cola memorabilia are on the walls. It has a couple of people inside, and we take the booth farthest away from the exit.
What can I get you all this evening?
Mint chocolate chip, please,
Emily responds. Ice cream always helps make her feel better. She comes back with a double dip of her favorite, and I observe as she inhales it. Slow down. You're going to get a brain freeze, sweetie.
Those aren't real, Mom.
She rolls her eyes. I take the time to step away, and a young woman confirms a spot is open.
Mommy, can we go home now? I'm done,
she begs. Shaking my head, I explain. The apartment's in awful shape, kiddo. We have to find somewhere else to stay.
Where will we go? To Grandma's?
Tears appear in Emily's eyes. I glance over to see a drawing. What's that, sweetheart?
A picture for Damon. Can we give it to him?
I rattle my head. I don't know. It's almost 7.
Please? I worked really hard on it.
Showing up unannounced at someone's house seems improper, but maybe he wouldn't look at it that way. Emily will simply beg until I say yes, so we might as well get it over and done with. Plus, he might enjoy knowing that we admire him for what he did today. Grapevine isn't too big, with a population of around 10,000 or less. The residential neighborhood isn't as substantial as you would expect, but plenty of thriving businesses set up shop here. A couple days after the first time Damon came into the grocery store, I strolled past his house on the way home from work, but he didn't recognize me. So I already know where he lives. Let's take it to him. But then we must go to where we're staying tonight, okay? A grin takes over as she plucks the picture and sprints for the exit. We stroll hand in hand for the next 6 blocks. There on the corner is the refurbished house that belongs to Damon. You ready to give it to him? I ask. That's his house right there. Emily is quick and gets to the door before I'm even on the porch. Knock, knock, knock. A voice resonates from inside.
Just a moment.
The door opens and Damon crouches down, his white t-shirt hugging his broad shoulders. Pull yourself together.
Hey there, sweetheart. What can I do for you?
This is for you.
As Emily reveals the picture, I recognize the three of us and my hero written across the top.
It's beautiful. Did you do this all by yourself?
Emily nods, drifting in for a hug. At 6, it astounds me how compassionate she is for others. Damon's eyes close, welcoming her.
Well, thank you. Would you like to come in and put it on my fridge?
Emily doesn't hesitate to walk inside before glancing back at me.
Come on, Mama.
As they turn into the kitchen, I gape at the interior of the home. It's refreshing. There are light blue walls and...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?